JJ, we're going to do an episode of We Were Gamers now.
Yes, episode number 75.
Oh, thanks for remembering. It's been a very long couple of days around here. Episode 75 was supposed to be recorded last week, and unfortunately my girls, all of them, were in a car accident. I don't need to go too far into it other than to say everyone's actually mostly okay.
That's good.
So, yeah, and then we rescheduled it for today, and now I'm currently 2.5 miles from an evacuation zone. Maybe less by the time we record this.
And the entirety of the state is on fire.
Yes, the evacuation zone is because the entirety of the state is on fire. Yeah, so I have to apologize. You will hear at some point through here, and I won't catch them all. Lots of fire trucks. Our main street is kind of a thoroughfare for fire apparatuses from around the county to travel on. And I may also cough uncontrollably because I was actually in the evacuation zone earlier today, removing my father and stepmother and their animals and helping to wet down their property, all the wood on their property and stuff like that for about 3 hours and some pretty thick smoke. So
I didn't realize they were actually in the affected area. That's
oh yeah. When we left because flames were heading up into the trees behind their property, and I said we aren't going to be any use here anymore.
Wow, man. Well, I hope everyone's okay. They got out.
Yeah. So they are all out. We were not allowed physically back in. It didn't matter what for. At that point, we had to leave he has a lot of livestock and animals and things like that. We had to leave the two pigs behind. But hopefully they'll be okay. We'll see. As of 7 p.m. on Monday the 9th, they still have a home, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully things go well. The firefighters, I'm sure, are doing their best. So
it's not a good day around the state. It's even worse in Napa and Sonoma, where
I know a friend who's the company that she works at, or their company headquarters, or not headquarters, their building burned down. So yeah.
Multiple wineries in Santa Rosa have been destroyed. Thousands of homes.
I think I heard it was like 75,000 acres of fire up there between a few various different ones.
Right, yeah. It's only about 5,000 acres down here, but the population density is a major problem. There's a lot of parks that the embers are just... we have like 40 miles an hour winds around here. So they're just flying to each new park and open space, and then all of a sudden there's a fire, you know, a mile and a half, 3 miles from where the current major fire is, and they can't get to it. So,
right. Man. Bad situation.
Luckily, the helicopters have died down. They can't fly them at night. You know, it's bad when there's DC-10s dropping stuff. So,
yeah, that is a...
We'll see how things are going in the morning, and I guess we can end the distracted part of it. Well, try not to be distracted while we do We Were Gamers.
hopefully, we can take your mind off it a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Our home is currently pretty, I would call, safe, although smoky. So we'll see. That shouldn't change by morning, but I am at least staying here overnight to make sure.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully they get that stuff under control before too much else goes wrong. That is sounds like that's probably been occupying your homeowning of the recent past.
Yeah, I'm sure in a couple weeks when things die down around here, I'll have grand stories and frustrations and funny tales about insurance processes and all sorts of stuff like that. But right now I'm just trying to make it through the last couple days and today, man.
Yeah, I hear you. It has been a bit of a whirlwind everywhere, really.
Whirlwind. That's a topical statement.
Yes. So I did a little bit of traveling. We were in on a brief weekend vacation while we were over the weekend here. We went with some friends to Las Vegas. Not the most opportune place to go in light of some recent events there.
It's tough there too.
Yeah. But we did end up having a good time. We went and saw the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show, which I didn't even know existed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was a nice weekend, sort of a low-key weekend had by everyone, which was nice.
Probably needed.
Yeah. Yes, there was a lot of relaxing, and that was very nice.
Cool.
And
welcome back.
Yeah. And in more, like, you know, game-related stuff, I received a little box in the mail from the UK.
Oh, it came,
it
huh?
It did, yes. I own a UK version of the Super Nintendo Mini Classic, or however they call this thing.
Cool.
Yeah. I did actually also receive a US one.
So you actually sparked a little bit of internet debate with this, by the way.
I mean, did I? I feel like it's a pretty obvious call. Like, if you have eyes, you should be able to see that one is clearly better.
Some people did bring up the valid point that to them the classic is it may look better and it may still be classic, but the one they grew up with was purple and gray,
and that's fine, and they can be right that if they're buying it purely for the nostalgia and the like memories of their childhood and stuff, then that's fine, but the logic and the empirical evidence clearly come down on the side that the gray and purple one is just ugly.
I love my Super Nintendo. I still have one. But if I had an option to have had the other one or to have the other one now, I still think despite the coolness and the nostalgia of it, the color of it is definitely so much better, I don't care.
Exactly, and that's my point. I'm not trying to say that anyone's childhood was bad, and the games it plays are the same, so there's not a big difference there. Although in the past, that may not have been the case, right, with the different hardware and stuff in the PAL region. But no, in this case, the Super Nintendo Mini is the same. It plays the same stuff, and it is very cool. I have been slowly working my way through Super Mario World and playing a little bit of Legend of Zelda here and there, Link to the Past.
So you're the third person that has now told me that they've gotten one, and told me the games that they've started playing, and none of you have started with Star Fox 2.
Well, no one can start with Star Fox 2, Andrew. You have to beat the first level of Star Fox 1 in order to unlock it. I have actually played Star Fox 2, and also the first level of Star Fox 1. and it reminded me that, wow, Star Fox 1 is not a very good game. That game kind of sucks.
For such an iconic N64 game, it was kind of crazy that it came from such a piece of weirdness.
Yeah, and that Super Nintendo game is rough. Man, even on this little, Linux-based, vaguely piece of hardware, it runs bad. Man, it does.
Oh no!
It just like it did on the Super Nintendo. So everything is the same. Like in fairness, it runs equally as bad as it does on the Super Nintendo. So they really did the work to make it emulate correctly. In that, it just performs bad.
Do you think that they did that so that speedrunners or stuff like that could say it performed the same? I mean, why not make it better?
Better is a tough thing, right? Because if you're approaching it from a emulation standpoint, right, if you want to make the emulator as accurate and as good as it possibly can, right, eventually you just end up replicating the piece of hardware, and so then it performs equally as the hardware, right?
Okay.
So if you're talking about if what you care about is making the games good, that's different from making the emulation good.
Sure, but it's also a new piece of hardware. Why not allow it to maybe up the frame rate or something like that, you know?
So it's definitely possible that those things are possible with the hardware that's there, but they're not enabled by default or whatever. It turns out that in lightning speed, there have already been people who have found ways to hack this thing. In fact, using the same stuff that they did for the mini regular Nintendo. The mini NES, the mini Super Nintendo can be hacked in the same way. So there are already ways to load new games and access different emulators. So if you wanted to use RetroArch, one of the open source emulators out there on the internet, instead of the emulator that's built into this thing, usually for compatibility reasons, you can do that. And it's very possible that through some of those other emulators or through, you know, more experimentation with the built-in one, that making those other ones work better will be possible.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you're enjoying your time with a new toy, huh?
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, it is hard to state just how much like a Super Nintendo this is. It's really small. And, like, it fits in the palm of your hand. Like, your hand will be longer than the box.
Okay, but the controllers, did they fix the controllers?
The controllers are normal size.
Okay, good.
But, you know, people who sit far away from their TVs might still have issues with the length of the cords.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit that far from my TV. They included HDMI cable and USB cable, and the controller cords together, that whole length of distance is enough to reach where I sit when I play in my office. But if mm-hmm. you had this, for example, on your big TV in your living room and were trying to get to the couch, possibly 8 feet away, you might have some issues.
I didn't realize it was that small. I thought it was, you know, smaller than the original, but I didn't realize it was fitting the size of your hand small.
It's really small. Yeah.
Interesting.
It is very, like, even knowing that it was going to be small, opening the box and, like, look, it's like, this is so tiny. It's cute. The little buttons work. You know?
Yeah.
It is very cool in that way.
Do you think that's, like, a attempt to make it kind of a showpiece or something?
I guess, yeah. I mean, you know, if you really like the look of this thing and you just enjoy having a Super Nintendo-looking console on your, you know, your living room AV center or whatever, you could put it there, I guess.
Yeah, and then it wouldn't take up a ton of room either.
Sure, yeah. In order to fit the controller ports, though, you have to pop down a little, what do you call it, a little flap on the front. And once you do that, the illusion kind of breaks, because, you know, the design now has this flap in it, and there are these two weird giant controller ports on it that fit Wii-style plug controllers.
Oh, okay.
And so then, you know, the illusion is kind of lost of it being this, like, you know, little tiny mini Nintendo at that point. But, you know, if you have the controller sitting right next to it, the controller is almost as big as the thing.
Wow.
So, you know, it gets, it's impressive. And apparently the mod tool is very easy to use. It just is like a GUI interface, drag and drop kind of stuff. Just plug it in USB to your computer and go to town. So I'm sure I'll experiment with that stuff sooner or later. For what it sounds like, the process is pretty foolproof. But, you know, I'll probably wait for the more mature versions of the tools rather than jump on it right at the beginning.
Yeah, it's all, you know, like the iPhone has a new OS available, but do you really want it right away?
Yeah, maybe you should wait like 3 months for people to catch the obvious stuff. Like, oh, oops, right. If you left this on for 6 hours, it just hard locks. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, like in the Apple instance, I guess the phones kind of unlock themselves or something. I don't know.
Or they battery drains three times battery as fast drains.
Yeah,
whatever.
But, you know, you're talking about not even just a first-party update where that type of stuff happens. You're talking about somebody who's hacking a system.
Right.
Yeah, wait for the tool to mature a little bit.
Yeah, and it does sound like the internals of this thing are basically the exact same thing as in the NES Mini, so much mm-hmm. so, in fact, that people have taken the Super Nintendo Mini software that they've dumped out of this thing and flashed it onto a NES Mini, and it boots up like a Super Nintendo.
What?
Yeah. Obviously, though, you know, the wrong controller, so it doesn't quite work correctly.
Oh, no. Can you hot swap the controllers?
I have no idea. I actually don't know if they're the same plug. Maybe. I don't know. I think it sounds like that's something that would be possible.
All right.
So, yeah, people that are interested in that stuff, there's a lot of good information out there on the internet. It sounds like some people are trying to be very helpful for people. People are creating, like, the box art icons that the system interface uses and stuff for games so that people have it all looking like, you know, with their same games and stuff. So it's looking good. I'm very excited to try that stuff in a while after I play through some more Mario.
Mario. Yeah. Nice. I don't want to talk too much about it because I think we'll have a guest on to talk about it too, who also has one.
Oh, awesome. I would love to talk shop. Yeah. Get in depth.
Because I want to hear the two of you compare your experiences. And since I'm not going to have one for the foreseeable future, I think it would be valuable because I think this coming holiday, a lot of people are going to contemplate them. And supposedly there's enough stock to have people contemplate them. So I think it'd be cool to talk about.
Yeah, I would love to do that. That would be fun.
Can we... I want to do a Bravely Default cut-in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so for a three or... No, how many years old is Bravely Default? 3.5?
It's an old
4-year-old game.
Older game, yeah.
Yeah. Spoilers again.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, we'll do our normal thing where we cut in the time you can jump back in right now.
23:45.
Okay, so that's the spoiler warning.
I have now completed almost chapter 4.
Okay.
I'm waiting to do the thing that ends chapter 4 because I wanted to do what I discovered you meant last time we talked about Bravely Default, the job you skipped.
Ah, yes.
Vampire.
Yes.
I have beaten all the dragons.
Okay, you got farther than me.
Because I have a black mage slash, ritualist? What's that job? I can poison the dragons, and all except for the dark dragon, then I can do like 7,000 damage a turn.
With the poison damage?
7,000 damage in attack. So my black mage can do like 28,000 damage with this one, it's called Exterminate. So if you have a target that's poisoned, it does a huge amount of damage to it.
Oh, awesome.
So the Black Mage can do like 28,000 damage in one turn of Brave.
Right.
But so I got through all the dragons and I was like, cool, I beat the dragons. I can definitely beat the vampire.
How'd that go?
Oh my God. You have to level. I don't see another way to do it other than leveling up the Templar asterisk that I just got to get this one spell called Rampart, because otherwise he has 4 attacks, I think, that just auto-kill you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like I said, I did not get that far. I got to the part where I was fighting the dragons, and a couple of them wiped the floor with me, and I just decided it wasn't worth it.
I was definitely in trouble the first dragon I fought. I had to figure out a pattern, and
right.
The pattern actually holds for all 6 dragons.
Maybe I just did not get the pattern down and just kind of decided to give up and go on with the story.
Yeah, I had to speed up a white mage who had fairy guard, the one that like nullifies all elements.
Yeah, okay.
She has a spell that nullifies all elements. And then I just keep recasting that every time that the dragon casts the spell that makes you weak against elements. So
gotcha.
That's how you can get through those fights. But then you get to the vampire and it's like, none of my skills help me. And if my health drops below 100%, then any attack he has does enough damage to kill everybody.
Yeah.
I think all of the attacks target everyone. But so what you missed in there is that there's this tower. I think it's 7 levels. And on each level, the vampire tells you more of the story of like the Duchy of Eternia and the Crystal Orthodoxy and the Crystal Adventists and like how he fits into all these things and how old he is and all that sort of stuff.
Interesting. That's like some deep lore stuff that probably
It's basically like, here's your reward. All the deep lore that explains how all these bad people came to be in power of all these things and how maybe the Templar that took over and killed off these people wasn't bad. Maybe he was good and all that sort of stuff. And how Del Rosso, the vampire, is related to the sage, who is also apparently like really, really old.
Interesting.
I don't know if you got... So I haven't finished chapter 4 because the end of chapter 4 is to go to the Pillar of Light.
Yes.
I have a feeling something bad's going to happen when I do that for some ominous reason about this stupid fairy that I think is probably a bad guy.
Airy the fairy? Isn't it Airy the fairy?
Yeah, Airy the fairy. I just so people know, I don't look up spoilers or follow guides or anything like that. The only thing I ever do is, like, if I can't beat a fight, like this Del Rosa fight, I look up the wiki fac or whatever and then go right to
strategies.
That point to get strategies, but I don't ever read anything. So any predictions I make when they're wildly off, just, you know, write that off to the fact that I, even though it's 4 years old, I don't read spoilers.
Okay.
So I know it's like 1 through 4 is like 80% of the game, and there's like 5 through 8 and it's really short.
Yes. Obviously you can drag stuff out by just, you know, doing random encounters and stuff, but you should be able to go through 5 through 8 relatively quickly if that is your goal, right?
Yeah. Well, what I wonder though, maybe you can speak to this, is I'm kind of like at my characters all have the jobs that I know that they want. Most of them have maxed out one job and are close to maxing out their second job. Other than these fights, like this Del Rosa fight that I don't know how to beat without leveling up another job, like going out grinding to level another job just for this fight.
Right.
Is it useful to like keep grinding or just like blast through at this point because I've got everybody in the jobs that will be high damage, etc.?
Yeah, you know, unless you have specific reasons that you want to level more jobs, you shouldn't need to go out and grind anymore, assuming you're, you know, high enough level and strong enough to beat the content that you're facing.
It's just really frustrating. I worked my way through this 7-layer tower and now I'm like, I beat all those dragons, I got all this story, and there's one piece of story locked up behind the fight. Like, you find out one more piece of information and he teases you with it before the fight. He's like, I'll let you see it if you beat me. And now I can't beat him.
Well, I think you might still be able to get some more shots at him in those other chapters. I don't know if he gets locked away when you move to those other chapters or not. I'm somewhat confident that you could move on if you wanted and still be able to go back to him.
Oh, like I could still try and do that asterisk?
Fight
later?
I think so. Don't quote me, but you might have to redo some parts of that stuff, but you would probably it probably would be possible if you wanted to. Or you can grind out whatever you need on that last job and do it now. I don't think it's going to lock you out of that permanently. But again, my memory is 4 years old, and I don't know. I also didn't do that, so I can't.
So it seems interesting so far. The story definitely, like, you fight bravely and you defeat him, the Templar guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do this Pillar of Light, and that's kind of like where I'm at. So I have to either decide if I want to keep trying doing this or keep trying and go on the main story.
You can always create a separate save file and sort of move
on. Oh, good point. I didn't think about the separate save file part.
That way you have the as it was at the time, make that save, do that job, and then, you know, come back later if you want to.
I didn't think about a separate save file. Smart.
I've been thinking a lot about separate save files for a different reason.
Okay. Ominous?
No, not ominous. I have been playing a lot of Divinity Original Sin 2.
Oh, still?
Yes. It's a long game, and I haven't gotten a ton of time to play it, what with also playing Super Mario. And little Zelda and some other things in there. But nice. That game really likes you to save. not a lot of quick and auto saving. It does let you save whenever you want, so I can just like tap the button and save. But if you don't do that or get in the habit of that, you can have some progress lost, which is a bummer.
What?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you die in a fight, it goes back to your last save, right? When was your last save? Depends. In a lot of cases, it may have been a while back.
Oh, man.
And the fighting in that game is pretty tough.
There's no auto-saving when you change over or do any of that stuff?
No, so it'll auto-save when you, like, enter or exit an area, or, like, you know, when you hit a predefined location on the map or something. But if that was a long time ago, and you know, some of these maps are quite big, right? It's like, oh, it autosaves when you enter the town. Okay, well, what if I fast traveled into the town? Does it save then? Maybe. Maybe okay. not.
Maybe not? It doesn't just fast travel save every time?
I don't think it does. Oh, I think no. it depends on where you're fast traveling from.
Okay.
If you're fast traveling from a location that's already loaded in that map, it's not going to save again, right?
See, that's kind of annoying. They should make it more consistent.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. At least so that I, you know, could know. But, you know, to their credit, you can just save any time you want just by tapping a button. So, like, in the middle of battle, outside of battle.
True. Whatever. Computer so some allows of the, you to quick save.
Some of that is on me for not quick saving as often as I should. And, you know, I'm starting to learn that you can't just walk into any fight and expect to win because the battles are hard. And I have been getting my butt whooped a little bit. I've respec'd some characters to try and like better utilize their points and more damaging skills and stuff. And it is, I don't know, it is tough.
Really?
Yeah, surprisingly so, I think.
Are you underleveled or?
No, I'm not underleveled. I'm right at about the same level as the enemies, which is, you know, kind of where they want you to be, you know, challenge wise. But I think the thing that is tough is dealing with the armor system in that game, which is kind of a cool system. I'll go through it. I want to hear your opinions on this.
Okay.
So there are two types of armor in this game. There's physical armor and magical armor. And almost every piece of gear will have a rating for one or the other or both. If there's no rating, it doesn't give you any armor. But if it has an armor value for it, it'll contribute towards that armor's total, right? And the numbers start getting big very quickly. So like your level one piece of armor or whatever will have like two for physical. The level 3 piece of armor will have like 10 for physical and 5 for magical. And the level 10 piece of armor will have like 100 for physical and 57 for magical, right?
Right, sure.
And so then, you know, the types of armor, there's 3 different main stats. There's a strength stat, a finesse stat, which is kind of like dexterity, and an intelligence stat for sort of wizardy people. And the armors that fit those classes distribute their split between physical and magical differently, right? The wizardy ones have high magical but low physical. The finesse ones are kind of down the middle. And the physical strength stuff is more physical armor, less magical. So you can kind of min-max it that way to try and get, you know, higher totals of whichever armor thing you want, which you want to do because while your physical or magical armor is up above 0, you cannot be affected by status effects caused from that type of damage. So
a physical status effect can't affect you, or a magical status effect can't affect you if you have more than 0?
Correct.
So you should always have 1 and 1.
Yes, ideally. But when you take damage, the number, your armor total goes down. So if you're in a fight and they hit you with a physical attack for 50 damage, you lose 50 physical armor.
Okay.
If they hit you with a magic spell, you lose 50 magical armor, right?
Sure.
And those numbers don't just like come back until you can, you know, use this, use the sleeping roll outside of battle or the battle ends and your armor totals will, you know, regenerate. So that you have to manage those armor totals each character and each enemy, because the enemies have the same thing. They'll have physical armor or magical armor or both. And if you want to affect them with status effects, like knocking them down so they lose their turn standing up, or by polymorphing them into chickens or lighting them on fire or whatever, you can't do any of that stuff without depleting one or the other set of their armor.
Huh.
It becomes then really tough if your party does not do lots of one type of damage, right? Because then you kind of have to chew through both armor totals in order to effectively damage the enemies. So if, like, I have 2 wizards and sort of 2 sword or dagger guys, like a bow guy and a sword guy, well, these two, the bow guy and the sword guy are doing physical damage, the wizards are doing magical damage, and they can't really help each other, right? Because if a physical guy attacks a guy and then my wizard's turn is next, his armor is still up. The wizard does nothing now, right? Like, he will eat through their magical armor, But if I needed him to be knocked down so that I don't get hit with some horrible attack, or if I needed to teleport him away from my guys or something, I can't do that because his armors and his defenses are still up.
Hmm.
So it kind of makes you lean towards all of one damage type if you want to really min-max it. And that's, or, you know, I think the thing they want you to actually do is to just be really careful about who you're using to kill which guys. And, you know, like, pay a lot of attention to which targets you try to prioritize and stuff. So it makes you think a lot more during even, like, normal battles. Like, I got into a battle with a bunch of scarecrows in a field, which didn't seem like that would be that big of a deal. You know, magic, evil magic, animates the scarecrows, yada yada. And the scarecrows whooped my butt. You know, these are level 12 scarecrows, okay? It shouldn't be that big a deal. And I'm level 12. I got 4 people. They have 3. Should be no big deal. Nope. Sure. Nope. Scarecrows completely whooped my butt.
What?
They have a terror aura that causes your guys to lose control and run away, but it only affects you if your magic armor is down. Okay, no big deal. Well, all the scarecrows cast Earthquake that overlaps on all your guys, and then now all of a sudden most of your magical armor is down, and now most of your characters are spending their turns running away instead of helping you. And yeah, so it's like stuff can cascade and go very badly very quickly in that game. You know, just like that. Luckily, there does not seem to be a penalty for running away, other than you have to be far away from enemies in order to do it. So make use of that if you can get your guys out safely.
Now,
yeah.
I actually have a lot of comments on Blade Runner, not Blade Runner. Whoa. I have a lot of comments on Bravely Default's mechanics that are tertiary to this, so we'll save them for another time. But one thing that I've noticed in JRPGs is that you always need someone that does physical, someone that does white magic, someone that does black magic, someone that doesn't, because an enemy will show up, a boss will show up, and you're like, well, one of my 4 characters is really bad against this boss, but my other 3 are good. But in this instance, it seems like it definitely has leaned you to, like, I need all spellcasters. Have you run into any bosses that if you had all 4 magic users, other than maybe like knocking somebody down or whatever, you'd be totally screwed if you didn't have 2 sword users?
So I haven't seen anything where I would just be totally screwed. There is some cases where certain enemies will have no armor of one type. So it's clearly like, hey, use your wizard to take this guy out. He doesn't have any magic armor. If you just turn him into a chicken or like set him on fire right now, he's going to spend his turn running around on fire. Or, you know, use your charm arrow attack to charm him to your side, right? You know, then he'll fight for you for a turn or whatever. You know, so, like, they clearly try to help you with that. And, like, some enemies will have, like, this guy has double the amount of magical armor that he does physical armor. That's a hint. Maybe I should use the sword guys. But it's not that you couldn't kill him with magical armor, right? It's just going to mean it's going to take longer, or you need to do a lot more damage in order to do it. Which could very well be possible, depending on what sorts of skills you have with a team that's all focused around, you know, one type magical.
Yeah, and if
or
you're
otherwise.
Able to eat through armor way faster.
Right. And, you know, it really is just damage. You know, the game places a lot of emphasis on elemental terrains and elemental spells. So you can do stuff like set the ground on fire, and then anytime you walk through that area of the ground, your character takes little bits of damage for every distance they go inside it. And once your character is burning, they take a certain amount of damage every turn, right? And that's applied against your magical armor and then your health. And then you can do stuff like curse the ground so that you get cursed fire, which is way worse than normal fire because it doesn't go out after a certain number of turns. It just keeps burning. Or you know, you can do like cursed oil or cursed poison or cursed ice, which all are like worse versions of their regular surfaces, right? Oh, you cast a bunch of ice under someone, they slip and fall. Okay, well, cursed ice, you slip and fall also, and then you take a penalty to all your stats. So, you know, the debuffs that you get from all these terrains are quite bad, so you would like to have your armor to negate them if you can. But, you know, if there's a whole bunch of mages all stacking certain kinds of spells and like covering the whole area in these effects, you know, maybe that would be a lot harder. Hard to say. You know, and like clearly some characters have spells that are like, hey, you can't tell. Oh, yeah, there's a teleport spell. So if a guy gets next to you, you can just teleport him, you know, over to the other side of the battlefield for a bit, make him walk back towards you. Very useful. But then, you know, other times the computer's guys will have the spell that goes, hey, you can't teleport me. Also, I gain a bonus to all my defense. And, you know, you could have that spell too, but only if they try to teleport you, right?
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of like push and pull of the. It clearly tries to steer you down certain paths for certain enemies, you know, but it doesn't mean that the other path wouldn't work. It just means it's going to be annoying. So gotcha. Then, okay, well then maybe I should just have restart this fight from the beginning. Cause now I know if I put my guy over here, which you can totally do by the way. So like it seems to kind of encourage that kind of flow, play the fight for a little bit, sort of see how it's going to go out. Okay. I kind of know what they're going to do. Stop, start over from the beginning of the fight because you saved. Right. And then, you know, position your guys a little better before you start the fight by talking or whatever. Then the fight starts. All your guys from the sides are already set up in high ground, and this person over here has an oil barrel already in the middle of their camp, and you blow it up, and that causes them all to be slow and all that kind of stuff. So,
I like that you got in a subtle dig at yourself about not saving.
Yeah, because that's like been my problem, right? It's like, oh, I should start over, and I hit the button to like bring up the menu. I'm like, oh, wait. Dang, I didn't save. Oh, this is going to be tough. And then you lose to three scarecrows.
Oh, I think that might be all I can muster. Do you want to do some rantasy football?
Yeah, let's rantasy football about it right now. Because there's a Monday Night Football game going on right now, and it's going to lose me two leagues. Very excited.
Both leagues?
I'm in four, so no, not all of them. But yes, it is losing me two leagues. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, it's amazing that they went into halftime at 3-2.
Yep, 3-2.
3-2.
Very exciting football teams that are playing. I believe the score was tied when we started this recording, but I don't doubt that there was a lot of scoring at the end because there had not been much scoring throughout the game. So it seems unlikely that they all of a sudden turned around and put up 20 points each at that point.
Oh, here's the update for you. Trubisky throws costly interception. Bears quarterback gives Vikings field position after throwing first career interceptions. They lose by a field goal.
Wah, wah.
Yep. But
that doesn't help. I had a running back on the Bears who clearly didn't do much. And that's a bummer.
Oh, man.
I also, in some leagues, had the venerable Derek Carr, who is now the injured Derek Carr.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah. I have, let's talk about the Giants for a minute.
Let's talk about the Giants.
Everyone else that has Odell Beckham can cry with me for a minute. I have him in one league. I think Michael has him in our league together.
Mm-hmm.
What a mess.
Out for the season.
Three wide receivers on the Giants out for the season, including Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham, and one other one.
Yep. I have Brandon Marshall, I believe, in the league with you and I. So that's going to be it for that guy.
What a mess.
Yeah, there will be people who will pick up those positions, I'm sure. I don't know who they are. I don't know that the team knows who they are.
Yeah, they haven't even signed them yet.
Yeah, that's going to be real rough.
I'm having a real hard time with fantasy football this year. I'm just not, it seems like I'm just not clicking. I don't know if it's not having as, I definitely don't have as much time to sit down and like stare at the screen and just like absorb all the news about every team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been true for a year or two. And now it just feels like I'm just not clicking with any of the information.
You know,
I don't know if it's knowledge or what.
And you don't need to keep up with all the information all of the time, right? So, you know, you can perfectly get by without that stuff. As long as you're, you know, noticing when your guys are injured, you know, making sure you swap them out for good available alternatives. The year is tough. There's just not a lot of good alternatives to the usual
crew. Well,
there are
teams that are still scoring 120 points with no problem in our league. So there's something to be found. It's just, I don't seem to be able to find it, and I can't figure that out. It's weird.
Yeah. I don't know what it is for sure. I know Kareem Hunt helped in the first several games, but he seems to have come back down to earth, you know, which where most players should be. So I can't claim my success in our league together is because of that. But yeah, it's been just you know, the people that the teams that people thought were good going into the season have turned out not to be very good in a lot of cases, and teams that people thought were going to be okay have just completely given up, it seems. Like the Giants were doing awful before all their guys got hurt.
Yeah. I do have one nice problem to have in the league we share together.
Okay.
Next week, I have to decide whether I want to start the quarterback that got 45 points this week or the quarterback that got 35 points this week.
Hashtag first world problems for Andrew.
Oh, it's solved for me. One of them's on bye. Never mind.
Okay, well then, there you go.
Easy Randy choice. C Football figured it out.
Well done. We applaud your extremely strong managerial skills there, leading the team to victory.
Yep, that's it. I just can't believe the injuries this week. In a week where I looked at both my teams in both leagues and said, okay, I might have a bad week for a week or two, but these are good players, right? I started looking at teams and saying, these are good players, and now just like, it's all a mess again. Everyone's hurt.
Yeah, and this week, even some, you know, big-name players who have been doing pretty good this week or, you know, in previous weeks did not put up any points, really. There were, you know, a few people, several people out there who put up goose eggs. I, in particular, am having a lot of trouble with the tight end position. I can't find a person who is a tight end who will put up points at all for any matter. Every week, I put up someone who gets one or zero.
Back to the Giants again. I had a player last week, he scored some points and he got a touchdown, but I dropped, he got a touchdown this week, but I dropped him last week because he hadn't scored more than like 3 or 4 points a game. Drop him, he gets a touchdown. Pick up the Giants tight end instead, who went 4-10, 4-6, and in a game where they lose four receivers, he gets zero.
Yeah, it's baffling. The Giants are just so, so bad. It's
who caught the ball?
I don't know. Apparently no one.
They scored 22 points. Somebody caught it.
I mean, did they? I don't know. Maybe they just ran it. Eli Manning with his legs. Yeah, probably not, huh?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, it's that time of year. Send us all sorts of stuff where, JJ, about fantasy football.
That is the email address podcast@wewergamers.com. We do enjoy reading those emails, so keep them coming. We will.
Yeah, we in fact got an email this week about gaming for charity, which we've talked about on here before. We've talked about this person wanted us to know that they did a bunch of hurricane relief streams on Twitch. And I think even AGDQ, who we a lot of times, every time they come up, Summer Games Done Quick, Awesome Games Done Quick. Those are marathons for charity, by the way.
Besides from being fun to watch, they are also for a good cause.
Yeah, they usually give to cancer foundations or Doctors Without Borders. And they also did one for hurricane relief.
That's awesome.
That was, yeah, I think they did one for Harvey. They netted about $25,000. They put it together in, you know, a weekend or something like that.
Very cool.
This is a great article on the LA Times about gaming for charity and how, you know, everyone's talking about the rise in gaming profits for all sorts of people, but also the rise in viewership that has increased charity giving as well. So if you're interested in it, it's called Gaming for Charity, Not Just for Fun, and it points out some of the lesser-known streamers and some of the stuff they've done for charity. So
that's really cool.
So, yeah, send us articles like that. We love to read that sort of stuff, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah. And if you want to send us other places you can find us, there's facebook.com/WeWereGamers. That's our Facebook page. Like, subscribe, all that stuff on there. Twitter and Instagram, we're on both of those @WeWereGamers. You know, make sure you follow us and see how it is. We will absolutely read anything you guys send us. So that's a promise from me right there.
We don't promise to like what you send us, but we'll
read
it.
Right, that's, yeah. Not going to like, might not like it, but we'll definitely read it.
All right. Well, here's to a better week next week, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Stay safe out there, y'all.